Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can we give God praise this morning? Lord, we give you praise. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, the calls and answer. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Mara also kulash to vida. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Because you're our foundation. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus, for healing our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus, for being our firm foundation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for you are the one holding us in place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Our dear Father, we exalt your name for this awesome morning. We give you praise because it is a beautiful day, just the way you have made it. Be glorified in our hearts today. Be glorified in our lives today in Jesus' name. We pray that as we look at your word, you will bless us, you will heal us, you will repair our lives, you will mend everything that is broken, you will straighten out everything that is crooked in the name of Jesus. We pray that even the learned will learn this morning in Jesus' name. We pray that the simple will be made wise in the name of Jesus. We pray that every question is answered, every problem is solved in the name of Jesus. We pray that every burden that has been brought here is dispatched right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that every sick body is healed in the name of Jesus. We pray that every confused soul is taken care of in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you've answered our prayers, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning. I'm feeling like a newborn baby. It's been a long time I've been able to do this, so I really appreciate the opportunity. Pastor, I'm so grateful. Thank you. 2006. Please, don't joke with anybody. Look at the person around you. Look at them properly. Don't joke with anybody. 2006, some of the baddest boys in my class introduced me to Pastor. I needed somebody to teach his twins. 2006? Yeah, 2006. Some of the guys, the most unserious guys in my class. But I was friends with everybody, of course, to different degrees. So, and imagine 2006 and I'm here now. Don't joke with anybody, please. People can be annoying, people can mess you up, but if you close your eyes, I don't want to see bad people, you won't see good people too. Hallelujah. So don't joke with people, please. So through that so-called bad guy, I met my father. So anybody can connect you with your life-transforming experience. Amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Mommy, you know, the first week I met Mommy, I was like, anybody where I go marry must come and collect anointing. And it happened like that, to the glory of God. Pastor Bello, thank you so much. Pastor Bello came at a time that we needed a military touch. Yeah, and that was quite helpful. God bless you so much, sir. You know, he's a military man, but his heart, I think my heart is stronger than his heart. Mommy Bello, God bless you so much. But God bless you. Thank you so much for all the support, for all the help, all the way. 2014, November 9th, I think. All of us, three of us, and like we were called out here. Do you know the interesting thing? There was this time we're having Bible study classes in pastor's house. So then I was very, very single. So I could just go to pastor's house and without having the initial plan of staying over, I'll just look at it like, oh, who is waiting for me at home? I'll just sleep and, you know, wake up the next day. So there was that day we had the Bible study preview and I was going back home and pastor gave me a ride and it was like, we are considering making you and some other people a pastor. I was like, really? Sir, is there something you want me to do that I'm not doing already? Just tell me, I'll do it. Forget about that one. But, so I think he said that around February. And because of the little resistance, he had to hold on till November. We are sorry for making your life difficult, David. So really, it's such a privilege indeed to be Father Ogi. I was telling somebody about Season of the Spirit last week Sunday. Then I was Bible Study Secretary in CCF 9 Fest. So Father Ogi, it was bringing Reverend K to Futa. He went to JCCF and they didn't have a slot. And he came to CCF 9 Fest, where he was still 200 level, I think. And I was just, well, you know, I don't like, how many of you know I don't like stress? I don't like wahala for my life. How many of you know? I don't like wahala at all. But I don't know, I don't know if that is a correct statement, but I don't know. Now, Father Ogi came and was like, he was bringing someone that he just needed a platform. I was like, gladly. And sincerely, 2008 is one of the most outstanding years of my life because then my questions were answered about knowing the will of God and doing things God's way and all that. Deeper Life Boy were taught the will of God, but I think the practical was lacking. I thank God for that foundation. It's a very nice one. It's a very nice foundation to build on. So, okay, I won't say the other things. Let's forget about that today. Pastor D, thank you so much. Sometimes I see him like a twin brother. Like, it looks like we look alike. I don't know if that English is okay. Nice to have you. God bless you, real good. Thanks for all the support when we're around and when we're away. Amen. Everybody, you know, like I said last week, there was this time we're struggling to have at least some structure. And now I see people handling things with little or no stress. And I'm really grateful to God for that. We still have some things to do, but by God's grace, we'll keep moving in Jesus' name. This morning, I'll be talking about true prosperity. Of course, how many of you are empty your wallet this morning? Because when you hear prosperity, you're already thinking about money. Hallelujah. I'm talking about true prosperity. If it'll involve emptying your wallet, just get ready. But I know the Holy Spirit will lead. But of course, don't worry. This is PGT. Amen. I'm talking about true prosperity. You know, one funny thing I've seen in research is that sometimes we waste time looking for answers that already exist in the Bible. You know, there's this research that was carried out, serious research. They wanted to know what people need to do to be wealthy. What people need to do to be prosperous. And guess what the final outcomes were? Number one, get a degree. Number two is don't marry when you're not ready. And when you get married, be faithful to your one wife. Isn't that obvious enough? How many of you know that adultery is very expensive? It is not economical at all. I mean, adultery is expensive. So if you don't have a reason, that's a very solid reason. So if your body is moving, you just remember, like, you go so far, like, very so far. Amen. So the second thing was, don't marry when you're not ready. And by the time you marry, be faithful to your wife. Not wives, your wife. And number three, be hardworking. So if those things are in place, every other thing you just need to do, maybe just, the rest is just like branding, how to package the service you provide and the goods and all of those things. And I'm like, so it took them to do that research to know that adultery can be that not economical. But so today I'm talking about true prosperity. When you go to business schools, everything they teach you, Joseph taught them. Amen. So you see, you look at the Bible and you see it as one boring book written 16, at least the King James Version was approved to be read in churches in 1611. So, like, a book that was written that long ago. and you look at it like it's very boring. And when you go to the book of Matthew chapter 1 and you read things like Abraham begat this one, that one begat this one, you think it is just a pile of rubbish. But it's not. It's not. Amen. Today, true prosperity is all we are considering. And of course, very popular scripture, 3 John verses 1 and 2. 3 John. Okay, I think I can read from the screen. That would be quite helpful. We are going to read many scriptures, so please be on alert, the person in charge. The elder here is John the Beloved. He wrote the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, and now 3 John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Maybe like one of his mentees, I don't know. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Beloved, I wish above all things, just one and two. Two, please, two. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Well, if you want to do some dictionary job, you can say to prosper is to succeed, to advance, to thrive. It is to journey successfully against all odds. Nobody's promising you are going to have a smooth sail, but to prosper is to keep moving in spite of all the challenges. Amen. You advance, you thrive. You know, one word I really love is thrive. When people ask you, like maybe because, okay, let me not talk about all that. As Christians, it is misleading. It is very misleading to think of prosperity in terms of just material and financial things. They are part. I said just, so I'm not saying you should go and, like, how poor you are shows how holy you are. That's perfectly wrong, okay? But of course, when we say prosperity, don't just think about materials and money. Don't just think about a degree from Harvard and Cadillac parked somewhere. If God gives you access to that, feel very free, but don't let it get into your head. Amen. So from what we see from here, it will look to me like true and sustainable prosperity. Now, mind it, true and sustainable prosperity. Of course, what is the essence of prosperity that is not without peace in your heart? Or prosperity that can easily fritter away? Or prosperity that when all your money is gone, your life is finished? Can you imagine that? You know, somebody said, some people are so poor, some people are so rich. No, some people are so poor, all they have is money. So, if you want true and sustainable prosperity, it starts from a healthy spiritual state, which later manifests outwardly. So it starts from within. So I think there's this story of, I think it was Thomas Edison, he was trying to invent stuff and fire, you know, raised his whole building. And then somebody was trying to pity him. You know, people know how to organize pity party for you when it looks like you're not doing well. So somebody came to me and they were like, how are we going to do this? I was like, really? What generated that thing was inside. We are going to do it again. And it went ahead to become one of the biggest inventors in history. Amen. So if it starts from inside, you know, there was this time in CCF where praying and we're praying about the spirit of excellence. We're praying about excellence, right? And then, so it just occurred to me that the best of everything is the spirit of that thing. If you have the spirit of excellence, you don't have to worry. You just excel. If you have the spirit of lying, you don't struggle now. It just flows, you know? So for every good, if you want to remove something bad, remove the spirit. If you want to do something good, invite the spirit, right? So the spirit of excellence, it's like auto-generates, or it just generates that thing without stress. Amen. So you see that outward success without an inward foundation can only lead to disaster. It's like building a skyscraper without foundation. It will come crashing no matter how beautiful it is. It will come crashing. So you see, one thing I've seen is that God has no problem at all making you a billionaire, making you richer than Elon Musk or whoever. Or who is the richest guy now? Jeff Bezos. He has no problem at all making you richer than him. But you know what? He would rather allow you poor so that you can go to heaven, so that you can do his will. He won't give you wealth that will make you crash if he really loves you. You know, some people, they cut corners, they do everything, and God So don't get to a point where God just allows you to do your thing. It's a very risky place to be. Hallelujah. And I'm not even threatening you. That's even mild. Amen. Genesis 39:1-6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hand of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Do you understand verse 1? Do you remember what happened in verse 1? He was not sold as a slave. Look at verse 2. Who wrote this Bible, Seth? Are they logical at all? Are they normal? And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. A slave. How can you say a slave is prosperous? How can you say a houseboy is prosperous? But really, this shows us that it doesn't matter where you are or what your physical state is. What matters is if God is with you. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He was prosperous. You know, he should wake up every day and cry. He should wake up every day and sing like those were at the river of Babylon. At the river of Babylon, remembering Zion, right? But no, he was prosperous. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. It was not, you know, the writer told us that he was prosperous, right? But then it was even noticeable that his master could even see it. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So if you have God in your company, whatever you do will just turn to gold. Amen. 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight. You know, one thing is leading to the other. So you see, you know, when people are talking about problems and everything, I don't like to, okay, for instance, if you had, I've given some people while I hear very well. Like, if we need to buy something, and you tell me Maggi is 50 naira, bread is 10 naira, I get easily pissed. How much is everything, please? I like to go to the foundation. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother so that your days can be long on the earth, right? And there you are going to the mountain to pray for long life, and you're not honoring your father and your mother. You're just wasting your time. Go to the root. Go to the very root. So if you want to be prosperous, don't even bother. Don't try too hard. Just have God with you first. Other people will notice it. Of course, Joseph was hard working. You know, the hard working thing I told you, Joseph had it. Then, of course, the promiscuity thing, he didn't have it. He had opportunity, he had scholarship to sleep with his boss's wife, and he did not do that. So he had everything in place, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. Verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So for your sake, because you have God with you, it can change things around you. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. If you jump to 20 and to 23, which you may not be able to read, you will also see that even in prison, because he carried God's presence, it still made a difference. It was basically running the show. Hallelujah. So we see that it is quite fascinating that Joseph thrived under all kinds of circumstances simply because God was with him. It didn't matter whether he was in a pit waiting to be sold, or he was in Potiphar's house as a slave, or he was in prison, you know, based on false accusation, or that he was even prime minister in Pharaoh's palace. It didn't make a difference. And that is why I keep telling people, how many of you are getting ready to jackpot? You know jackpot now. Like, you're already preparing. Like, you have a brother in Canada who is already doing your papers. Of course, I'm not saying God can be leading you there. Don't get me wrong. But don't just go because everybody is going. Because in the long run, it is not where you are. It is who you are and who is with you. Amen. I know these are very hard things to hear because of the circumstances. But you know what? Your case is not as bad as David's case. Joseph's case, yeah. It's not as bad. Look at the progression. Now, if God needs to take you somewhere, if it is necessary in your journey, he knows how to go about that. So don't stop stop stressing yourself. Don't be complacent, but don't stress yourself. All right? This is to tell us that prosperity is not necessarily about where we are. Just like I said before, it is about who we are and who is with us. True prosperity can only be assessed in God's presence. We've been seeing it was prosperous. A slave boy was prosperous. A prisoner was prosperous simply because God was with him. In Genesis 21, 22 to 25. Okay, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech, you remember Abimelech is a king, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Can you imagine? Like, it was the king saying it. It was not a believer. In terms of New Testament, he probably did not have the gift of discerning of spirits or something like that. But he was able to see. People can easily see when you're with God, when God is with you. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. 23. Now therefore swear unto me here by God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. 24. And Abraham said, I will swear. 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servant had violently taken away. Can you imagine one man? 25. We're stopping at 25 for now. And Abraham reproved Abimelech. Imagine me reproving who? Look at government chairman. That one is a small boy now. Like, you know, and in those days, a king was king over everything. They used to bow over everything, all right? And one man was reproving him. If God is with you, you can be fearless and confront things as the Holy Spirit leads you. You can confront giants and powers. Amen. In 1 Samuel also, we see David, 1 Samuel 16, you can write it, you may not have to read that. 1 Samuel 16, 14 to 18. David, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Can we go? And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubled thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. You know, there was a job opening, and Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse. Somebody say one. The Bethlehemite. That is cunning in playing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely person, fine boy, and the Lord is with him. That's the... Praise God. So if you have everything and remove the last one, it's useless. It's totally useless. So if God is with you, you cannot hide for too long. You know, you can be trying to hide your head like you don't want anybody to see. But the presence of God, you cannot hide it. You know, the Bible, I think it was Jesus saying in the book of Matthew, I think chapter 5, it says that the men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No. Like, you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You don't even have to blow your own trumpet. Amen. You will be sought out by people that need the solution you can provide, even without you pushing yourself forward. The presence of God with us instills fear in those who may want to harm us. You know, there are people who don't, they just don't like you. You see, try be a nice person as much as you can. There are people that just don't like you. There's nothing you can do about it. But the interesting thing is that if you have God with you, there's also nothing they can do about you. When they are tired, they will now come and they'll be like, how did they do? I'm not like, teach us something. Or they'll now them go tired. like the worried people will say, they'll get tired and they'll have to leave you alone. So it's like that. As you continually dwell in God's presence, you become greater and greater to your own amazement. You'll be wondering, what is all these things? I don't even understand. But, you know, just like you cannot be hidden, you'll be fished out, and then God will keep doing his thing. The only problem is that when that begins to happen, don't be like Uzziah. You know, the Bible, I remember a message preached by mommy like 9 years ago or something, that she told us about Uzziah, how God strengthened him so much, and it got to that point. It felt that, oh yes, now we. And God showed him, he became leprous. And that was a disgrace for a king. So don't ever get to that point where you lose your head and think that you're the one making things happen. No, don't be deceived. You are not that smart. You are not that beautiful. You are not that powerful. It is just God that is the glory of God. You know, the presence of God is the glory of God that covers you. It is a weight that just covers you. And it looks like you are perfect and you know how to do everything right. Don't be deceived. Amen. Now, can we look at Luke chapter 1? Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1:26. True prosperity. See, if you don't understand anything after now or before now, get it now. That true prosperity is only made possible when God is with you. Remove God and everything just falls like a pack of cards. And in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God onto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man. Oh, Joseph is coming up again, but not that one. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The Lord is with thee." The Lord is with thee. Because the Lord is with her, then she is blessed among women. I'm sure she was not the only virgin. I'm very, very sure of that. I'm very, very sure of that. But then she was blessed among all women because the Lord was with her. Amen. Can we go 29? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. That was... And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You have found favor with God. And behold, now with God's presence comes his favor. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." 32, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Because God was with one virgin. She gave birth to someone who is many people in the world don't like Jesus. I hope you know why many people want Donald Trump to win, because they feel he's the one, you know, he's the one trying to help Christians all over the world. You know, that's the bias, right? But Jesus, the other guys that they seem to hate everything about Jesus. When people are saying religious tolerance and everything, it is Jesus. They just don't want to come out straight. It is Jesus they don't like. But no matter how hard they try, Jesus is the most popular name in the world. Amen. Just because of one woman who cultivated God's presence, who yielded herself to God. You see, there are two... Okay, using the word prosperity loosely now, there are two parts. I remember Pastor would say something like, you can either have glory by going to the cross or by bowing to the devil. You choose one. None of them is easy. But I would rather choose the one that is easier in the end. You know, one, it is sweet now. But later, you go here when. But the other one, it's not easy. You know, the process God is taking you through, it will crush you. It will pain you. Like you will have to forgive when it doesn't make sense. But that is the surest way to go. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We also see that in the life of Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 8. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, which with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for what? Acts 18:9-11. And then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So Paul was walking in dangerous terrains, but God assured him that as far as I'm with you, you have no problems. You remember when Moses was going to die, they had to remove God's presence from him. As far as that thing was it Moses or Aaron? Aaron. As far as that garment was on him, he couldn't die. So if you want to die, remove God's presence. I'm too harsh, Abby. Chai. So if you want to die, just move out. Of course, if you move out, you may not fall down and die, because God is also a gracious God. He may give you time to adjust. Because all of us get it wrong every time. So we have to keep course correcting. Okay? So his presence preserves you, keeps you alive, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, so if you have the Lord with you, you can bet things that will change the course of history. Look at one Mary giving birth to one Jesus, and look at where we are today. Both those who like him and those who hate him, they keep mentioning his name. And at some point, they discover that it's like this name they are mentioning is not helping them. So they will now be using... They want to turn your Christmas to Xmas and all those cunning stuff. But they are just wasting their time. Nothing is impossible when you are in God's company. You know, I believe that whether Donald Trump wins or Joe Biden wins, God rules in the affairs of men. And his will will be established. And there are prophecies that have gone ahead and they will be fulfilled, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will take over the earth as the waters cover the sea. If they're like, they should even impeach two of them and put the person we think is the real devil, Hillary Clinton or whoever. God rules in the affairs of men. Amen. So nothing is impossible when God is in your company. So a virgin could give birth because she had God with her. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. We need the Lord to be with us so that we can be bold witnesses of Jesus. You see, why you've been struggling in evangelizing is because you have been trying to do it by your own wisdom, you've been trying to go your own way. You know, I think there was this challenge last week that how can you turn almost every conversation into the gospel? And I think there was this question about maybe a Muslim person gave you a ride, and then you are looking for a way to reach out. It can be very seamless. There's a wisdom God gives. I like what Bola said this morning, that there are updates in the spirit. And that is why we have to keep fresh, like keep connected. You know, last week, we are still going to read that very soon. So we need the Lord to be with us so that we can be bold witnesses of Jesus, advancing the Great Commission no matter what we are up against. There are challenges. You know, I said it initially, that to prosper is to advance in spite, despite all challenges. That is what it means. So you're going to have challenges. You're going to have things coming up against you, but then you're advancing all the same. That is why I'm not afraid to come back, because I know it is not about where I am. It is about who is with me. You know, sometimes, some things we do, it's simply because we don't trust God to take care of our lives. That is why we want to take our own lives in our hands, as if, you know, the temptation was so great. Like, there was a time every week, somebody must call me and tell me, are you coming back to Nigeria? And I'll be like, I have a bond with you. You want me to break it? Even Christians, some of them are even pastors. They are not PGT pastors, though. Some of them are even pastors. Because they are looking out for me, right? They want me to have a good life and all that, but... What is a good life when God is not there? If you like, go to White House. You still suffer if God is not with you. Yes. Of course, God can be sending you to White House. If he's the one doing it, feel free, enjoy. Okay? So please, don't leave. Don't block out anything. Just be sure that it is God that is leading you. So Jude, you know, last week I read Jude 20, 21, verses 20 and 21. Can we read that again? So, you know, we are talking about God's presence. We are talking about him being with us and everything. And you know, I hope you know, the Bible says that in God there is no shadow of turning. There is no variableness. So, if it's not with you, it is you that walked away. It's always there. Do you understand? If God is not with you, it is you that walked away, because God is there. He's there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, but if you discover he's not with you, put on your GPS and go back. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Of course, some people think it is just speaking in tongues. That's just one aspect of it. To pray in the Spirit is to pray aided by God himself, like to be given utterance, whether you're praying in tongues or you're praying in your understanding, but you are being aided to pray. So that way you can keep yourself, you know, connected. And that also takes us to John 15 verse 4 that Pastor read last week, that, you know, a branch cannot bring forth grape by itself. It has to be connected to the vine. So if you want prosperity, you have to be connected to him, to God. And that is why, you see, at one point in my life, the biggest fear of my life was how I would get money to get through my first degree. That was the biggest fear of my life at some point. But right now, do you know the biggest fear of my life? The biggest fear I have right now is the possibility of walking out of God's will. I mean, like, I don't want to be in that place where I no longer hear what God is saying. I no longer know. I'm just doing things based on impulse. I'm just doing it because it feels good. I don't want to be in that place at all. There was this Pastor Gwenga Molonri came for one of our teaching weekends in CCF 9 back then. And, you know, when he was still an undergraduate, he studied civil engineering in Futa. And God told him, like, he already saw it, that he was meant to be a lecturer. You know, you study civil engineering, you are confronted with the option of being a lecturer and being a contractor. Which one you go choose? You want to make, everybody wants money, right? But you know what? When he finished, he forgot the vision he saw, that he was supposed to be a lecturer. And it took an accident, a broken leg, and 3 months hospitalization at FMC Owo for him to remember that vision he saw. It was with crutches that he got a job in Covenant University. Since that day, I told God, please, don't even bother. Don't break my leg. I'll be fine. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. I don't need a broken leg to do the right thing. And that is if God really loves you. If he doesn't, he can abandon you, and you'll be making all the money, and you are fine. You'll be in Canada, and you are shining. Everybody will see good pictures. And you think God is with you. It's a lie. I already put the caveat, right? If he wants you in Canada, you'll be fine, all right? If he wants you in Australia, please go there. If he wants you in Afghanistan, don't hesitate to go too. Yeah. Sambisa Forest, feel free. As far as it is God leading you, you'll be fine. You'll be very, very fine. Amen. So, crutches. He went on crutches, and I think he's a professor now. You know, I think he's a professor now. Since that day, I just go, please, don't break my Lego. Just tell me, please, let me be sensitive. Let me be obedient. That's all I need. Let me just hear what you want me to do. I'll do it. Don't worry. Don't break my leg. So one way to cultivate God's presence is to pray with divine assistance, whether in tongues or in understanding. That's where we can stay connected with the love of God, by which we can have all kinds of virtues flow into our lives. Now, when people look at your life and they say, oh, you're very beautiful, there's something about you that is different. There's something about you. It is just God's presence that you carry. And you don't want to ever joke with that. You don't want to be in a place where his presence is removed from you. Because once his presence goes, just like we heard in the case of Aaron, it means that death can have access. Death can begin to creep in gradually. Death can begin to creep in gradually, and you definitely don't want to have that kind of experience. So, in conclusion, I can say that true prosperity is only guaranteed by our connection with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, who keeps upgrading us as we are sensitive and obedient to him. As you are praying in tongues, as you are praying in spirit, as you are doing all those things, as you are reading your scriptures, you are not just doing a mechanical exercise. You are also being open. You are being sensitive to hear what God is going to say. And you are not just only hearing it, even when it is not convenient. Of course, you still have the same Holy Spirit to pray to help you do the thing he's telling you to do. That way your life keeps getting better and better. And then you can be permanently prospering. It's not like you'll be... And of course, and if you... How you know true prosperity is that whether you have money in your pocket or not, you are still radiating, you are still shining, you still have joy. Of course, the human element will still creep in once in a while and you feel like, oh, the money in my account is going down. What is going to happen now? That happens for sure. But you allow the Holy Spirit to do his thing in your life. And that is the sure way, the guaranteed way. Any prosperity outside of this is simply a delusion. Want to rise this morning to pray to God to help us? Please feel free to rise. It needs to help us. If it doesn't help us, we may be prospering in our own ways, but it is just a flash in the pan kind of success, a success that does not last. It is that kind of prosperity that you have that once all you have is gone, then you can as well commit suicide. But if you have the true prosperity, it doesn't matter the material things you have or not. All that matters is that you have God's presence. And that God's presence is a generator. It can generate whatever. It can generate anything. Lord, we pray today that you'll help us. You will strengthen us to be sure that we do not ever leave your presence. For as many who have left this morning, we come back to you. We repent today. We pray that you'll help us. You'll have mercy on us. You will help us. All the days of our lives, we remain firmly rooted in your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.